A weak solidarity Bricky team listener when we suffered a collective electric shock as state big supremo the pejorative Dan indicated a re-elected socialist government would re-establish the State Electricity Commission, the SEC, to lower power bills and ensure Victoria is 95% renewable by the mid-30s. To be fair, we still have an SEC when former caring business class party supremo Jeff Foot-in-Mouth handed the state-owned asset to his mates so we could enjoy the benefits of the efficiency of the private sector, lower prices and all that, which we've so enjoyed. He retained a shell called the SEC, whose sole role is to provide the massive subsidies we provide to Alcoa, which uses about 30% of our state electricity and can't possibly afford to pay the bill itself. Anyway, the Trubliwazi Capitalist Review led with, "The plan to reverse the decades-long privatisation will chill private investment and hurt ordinary investors and workers." And if we had any doubts about that, the report quoted those most reliable of sources who so care about workers, Woodside with Capital Energy, Alien to Workers Energy, and the Trubliwazi Energy Profits Council. When it comes to their bottom line interests, they certainly do get energetic. And don't forget, Alien to Workers Energy is so committed to addressing climate change, if there is such a thing, it has plans to close the Loy Yang Power Station, Trubliwazi's biggest polluter, by as soon as 2047. Real commitment, real concern. But the most sincere concern for workers came from Lord Rupert of Wapping in his Wapping Sin. The pejorative Dan's commitment to 95% renewable energy by 2035 has been slammed as an attack on working families, it opened its report. And who was expressing this heartfelt concern for working families? Why? The Institute of Public, very, very private affairs, of course. Lord Rupert's regular expert commentator on these matters, well, on almost all matters. The Institute of Public, very, very private affairs, the workers' friend, the true workers' friend. Unlike evil unions, which it and Lord Rupert know are wolves dressed in sheep's clothing when it comes to workers' interests. Separately, the Minister for Environmental Pollution, Tania Polutasik, put in their place those who suggest the government's dedication to extracting, utilising and exporting gas and coal conflicts with reducing pollution, attacking them as extremists. "There are people at the extremes on these matters," she said, while boasting of her plan to prevent methane escaping from livestock, which apparently balances the great resource corporations' continued fracking and extracting, showing Tania is not an extremist. The socialist opposition in His Most Gracious Majesty's home country moved a motion this week to ban fracking the environment, but the government whipped its numbers into line, and when I heard the Speaker declare, "The noes have it, the noes have it," I thought, they certainly do. It's completely on the nose. Back here, our socialist government supports fracking the environment despite anti-progress carryings on by Tania's extremists. Perhaps she has a common cause with Lord Rupert's usual suspect columnist, who is so incensed by all these warmists who pursue the myth that is so-called climate change, who tells us CO2 is good for us because it promotes growth and therefore contributes to feeding the world, saving us from starvation. Which, given he is omniscient, we look forward to his explanation on the long, long droughts and mass starvation and deaths occurring across so much of Africa. We can be sure he'll find a way to blame the warmists. Timely warning from the Reserve Losses Bank over new statistics showing wages, as a share of the national income, have fallen to less than half for the first time in half a century. What a surprise. The fall, the bank tells us, is due to the super, super, super obscene profits the resource industry is enjoying, distorting the figures. Wage earners shouldn't be concerned. The super, super obscene obviously not trickling down to wages, although they may, because the bank gave us its aforementioned timely warning. See, the evil unions, including the ACTU, claim workers are not enjoying their fair share of profits and productivity. Hence the timely warning. We must not accept wage and productivity figures produced by the evil unions or their left think tank supporters, the Reserve Losses Bank alerted us. Only caring employers and their knowledgeable think tanks, or so-called think, we must assume can be relied upon to give us the reliable figures. And this must be so because we know how much caring employers would just love to resolve the problem of slow wage growth but just can't put their finger on the solution. Or more correctly, know that if the lazy, avaricious workers pull their fingers out, that is the solution. Productivity, anathema to the lazy, avaricious. So what seems a simple solution to us is clearly far more complicated. Like another headline this week, caring employers seeking how to solve the gender pay gap. Again, we would have thought there was a pretty simple solution, a problem the court solved back in the 70s, showing the difficulties poor caring employers must face trying to abide by the equal pay ruling. Half a century of adjustment and still working on it. One of those lefty, long-haired, commie-greedy think tanks, well, so-called think tanks, unlike genuine, deep-thinking think tanks like the Institute of Public, very, very private, the Trublowasi Institute, clearly envious of those super, super, super obscene resource profits, reckons the public purse would have been $20 billion better off this year if the government had introduced a windfall obscene profits tax, on the specious grounds that what they extract and flog belongs to the people. Of course it doesn't. Governments give it to them. It's theirs. Isn't class envy such a poison on our classless society? But thankfully, big economic guru Jim Chalmers Capital has assured the great resource giants they have nothing to fear. He most definitely will not ask them to be forced to spend more on their tax lawyers and accountants. The super, super, super obscene profits are all yours. Phew. Indeed, public altruism will go the other way. He insists he will persist with cutting taxes to the filthy rich, which will require a few cuts in other areas. Thankfully, one other area, unaffected, must be, and Jim has pointed this out, must be, the trillions we hand to the merchants of death for all their lovely, lethal merchandise. Some cynics have suggested that former big supremo Scuttlebenmore Lashson, a.k.a. ScoMo's recognition of West Jerusalem as the capital of Zion, was a cynical ploy itself during a by-election in an electorate with a large Jewish population, which sadly didn't work, showing the sort of conspiracy theories these cynics will come up with. After all, there was also showing his leader, US of the UN, of the US of the world, Supremo Donald Trump or the Paw, what a good guy he is, how Trublowasi will obey its orders. And I'm sure we all thought the Zionist reaction to the socialists reversing the policy was most rational, especially their accusation the government had taken the decision without consulting them, because clearly they were open to a balanced discussion in which they might well agree with the government, showing how reasonable they are. Yet so distressed were they that they had not been consulted, they could offer no thanks to the government for iterating its commitment to Zion, its support for the occupation of the landless people's land. But then I realised the Zion reaction was most reasonable and moderate when I discovered the truth via that most reliable source, the aforementioned Lord Rupert of Wapping, usual suspect lackey, or sorry, columnist, who screamed that our minister for going overseas all the time and being a perfectly good little prefect, penny left wing, and the socialists had capitulated to terrorists. Showing that all the displaced people are terrorists and the Zion trained killers occupying the non-land to which they were banished, who simply shoot them, bomb them, arrest them, bulldoze their homes, control their lives and movements are dedicated pacifists who would never terrorize anyone. Anyone who agrees with them 100%. All others are anti-Semites, anti-Semitic, including, therefore, the Semitic displaced, occupied, landless, who must be anti themselves. And the Shadow Minister for Going Overseas, etc., Simon Burbley, attacked the decision as a shambles, showing the government making a decision and announcing it must be shambolic, making, logically, every government decision shambolic. So Simon could be onto something. His Most Gracious Majesty's home country lost its second Liz in 45 days. One the longest serving, one the shortest. Big difference. But apart from their name, they do have one other thing in common. As Gilbert wrote, they'll not be missed. They'll surely not be missed. Caring business class party supremo and would-be big supremo, Constable Peter Duffer, wants Greed Senator Lydia Thorpe to be missed from Parliament altogether over a brief affair with a former bikie leader, Dean Martin. That's amore. Rebel hell for rogue senator, the whopping sin screamed, a whole page dedicated to how evil is this senator and the bloke involved. But then the very last sentence, right down the bottom, Dean Martin has no criminal convictions. Huh? But they just spent the rest of the page telling us what a villain he is and what a villain is the senator. So obviously, Pete and Lord Rupert and all the righteous screaming must be advocating that every MP must have a conflict with their spouse, partner, lover. In many cases, both partner and lover. That's okay, of course. Also okay, former train killer and being offensive minister Linda Recalls Nothing's husband sat in court every day during evidence she was supposed not to hear, but anxious to know about. But she swore they never, never discussed the matter at home each night. Sure! And sure, she denied asking defence lawyers for a transcript, but then admitted she had. And that's also okay, of course, a small memory lapse, and we trust her. So, finally, I'm sure we'll all support the Week That Was's new campaign to solve this problem, and we thank Pete for alerting us to it. The Week That Was Celibacy in Canberra campaign. Celibacy in Canberra, it's a winner. And for once, we'll be telling politicians where not to stick it. Good morning.